T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries.
Good morning. I'm Bart Winkler. Kevin Holden here from CBS 58. You can ask us anything, myself and Kevin, around 840, 845 today. We will take a bunch of the questions that have come in already. You still got some time to do that. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW. One person at random will still, we've still got Summerfest tickets to give away. This thing is not over yet, and so we'll try to make a winner here yet today. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW as you do every Wednesday so that we can make sure that we find your question and that you're eligible to win these tickets. We will name a winner at some point throughout the morning. We'll DM you. I hate when people say PM.
PM?
Private message.
Oh.
DM. I go with direct message.
It is a direct message.
Some people say IM. Instant message.
That's 1998, yeah.
Oh, yeah. PM me. I need a new dresser. PM me for details. DM me.
DM.
I'm an old man and a young man.
Sliding up into your mentions, into your DMs.
Only one letter being off would rile me up. As so. Tom Brenneman's also riled me up.
He has.
In the recent years. Here's what happened last night. So you guys probably saw it. If you didn't, you may have heard about it. If you're waking up and didn't watch the Brewers game last night, oh, they lost. And it sucked. And it was real dumb. They went to extra innings. They had a 4-2 lead. Reds chipped away. They go to extra innings. Scored a run in the ninth. Extra innings. 11th inning. Puig gets on first, and then Iglesias is up, and Corbin Burns is on the mound, and you want to lock this down and get another chance in the 12th. The way that it ended was sort of poor. Christian Yelich, a ball got hit down the line to him, and he threw it to pretty much nobody, and Eric Thames couldn't go get it, and it was just sort of a mess. Here's how it went down via Fox Sports Wisconsin. And this happened last night.
The pitch, and a bouncing ball over the head. Yelich cuts it off, Puig to third, and now the throw gets away, and Puig is coming home, and the throw to the plate is late, and the Reds are going to win this game.
All right, so you hear the disappointment in Brian Anderson's voice, but he calls it professionally.
Right.
Let's jump over to the Reds radio network, where they're a bit taken aback by it, but they manage a nice professional call.
And it's bounced over the first base and down the line in right field. And on around to third base comes Puig. And the Reds have him on the corners with two out. And now the ball gets through. And Puig's going to score. And this one belongs to the Reds.
All right, so the proper level of excitement.
Yeah.
Yet still a measured approach, as it is just one of 162. And then there's the Reds TV call. From our friend Tom Brenneman. Now, Tom Brenneman, you know him from the NFL on Fox. You've maybe heard him call baseball games in the past. I'm not a fan of his, just based on how he is as a NFL announcer, because he never seems to know what's going on, or he always seems to prematurely call the play. There's a lot of times where the ball will go up in the air, and he'll say interception before the ball's even touched anybody's fingers, because, you know, for whatever reason, instead of watching the play and telling you what's happened, he wants to, like, be smarter than the play and tell you what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times where I've heard Tom Brenneman go, and it's a high fly, it's a pass, and it's caught. No, wait, it's picked up. Oh, it's actually a fumble. Touchdown. You know, he never seems to know what's going on. On this highlight last night on Reds TV, he forgets how to speak.
And a bouncing ball down the right field line. This is not going to score Puig, but it'll get him to third base. And DeGlacius had ball triples to the infield. He'll complete. He is going to score. Reds win. Reds win. Reds win on the legs of Yasiel Puig.
All right, still, Tom, it's 101-62. And how do you close caption this?
DeGlacius had ball triples to the infield. He'll complete.
Incomplete?
Yeah, he said through his legs incomplete, I thought is what I was getting.
That was like a practice for Telemundo with you, because I don't know what the hell he's trying to say. No, Tom Brenneman over the weekend, too, I did see a little of the Cubs and Reds. And on Saturday, Yasiel Puig got hit by a pitch and was like going to charge the mound but didn't.
Right.
And so Tom Brenneman goes off for 2-3 minutes about, if you're going to charge the mound, just charge the mound. What are we doing here? The theatrics of this. This is despicable. Terrible. What a stupid situation. And he's so mad at Yasiel Puig for, like, not charging the mound. And then the next day, Addison Russell is at the plate. Addison Russell's had a bad offseason with some domestic violence stuff. And then it's, you know, Addison Russell's got to worry about all this stuff off the field. How great of him to come back here and remain focused on baseball. So it's like fake charging the mound is the most despicable thing you've ever seen. But a guy coming back to play baseball when he probably shouldn't be is okay because of he's a hero for dealing with all this stuff. Basically, there's nothing Tom Brenneman can do to win me back over. I despise him so much. This doesn't help.
Lacey said, "Ball triple to the infield, incomplete."
Escapa, anything's gonna Yasiel Puig corriendo al plato.
Okay, no, sorry, you said that was not Spanish.
No, I'm not a Tom Brenneman fan. So that was the play last night. But, a tough situation for the Brewers. And Corbin Burnes is on the mound for that. And, you know, you probably should have. He gave up the two hits there, obviously, but still should have had a chance to win that game. Talked to Corbin Burnes recently. And one of the things that I've been interested in with this Brewers team is guys that go from starter to reliever to starter to reliever. I don't like it. I don't like it. I think that they should settle on a role for some of these guys. Freddie Peralta's in the midst of that right now. Brandon Woodruff was a guy who did it last year, starter, reliever, AAA starter. But when we talked Jerry Augustine, we talked to him a few weeks ago, former Brewer, Fox Sports Wisconsin. He said, no, I think it helped Woody because when Woodruff went to the bullpen, he was able to refocus on the pitches that he could succeed with the most and then kind of expand on that when he became a starter. And I can't argue with the results for what we've seen out of Brandon Woodruff right now. So I floated that to Corbin Burnes, and I don't know if I got sort of the same reaction from him about that. Corbin Burnes, again, started, then became a reliever, went down to the minors, came back up as a reliever, went down to the minors, went came back up, and he's a reliever right now. And I pitched that Jerry Augustine idea to Corbin Burnes a couple days ago. I've been saying, and I don't know, I you know obviously didn't play at your level. When did I quit? Second grade, maybe? I was a catcher in T-ball, if you can imagine how brutal that is. You never touch the ball. With your position where you're starting and then you go as a reliever, my assumption is that if you're going to start and be a starter, you're better off continuing to be a starter. But then when I was talking to Jerry Augustine about this, he said one of the things that helped Woodruff was you kind of refocus in that reliever role and then you learn those things to correct him as a starter. Is Jerry Augustine more right, or am I more right with Augie's experience versus my experience?
I think it's just a matter of, you know, what you feel is going to get you back on track. Last year I went from the starting role in AAA to the bullpen role in the big leagues, and you know, transitioned fine and had a good year. It's taken me a little bit to transition back to the bullpen role, but for me it's just all about getting more experience out on the mound. So as a reliever, you get more opportunities, you get more chances, you know, albeit they're shorter stints, but it's just whatever they think is best for me to get back on track. Right now, throwing the bullpen, like I said, this last month has been good. So it's definitely things are starting to trend in the right direction as far as, you know, fastball command, breaking stuff. So everything's feeling good to this point. Whatever they feel is, the role going forward the rest of the year, the rest of the week, next couple years, whatever it is, whatever they feel is going to be the best fit, for the organization is obviously what I'm going to do.
Here with Corbin Burnes down in the Brewers clubhouse. When you're even as the relief role, when you come in one day and you just got to get a couple outs to get a save, and then the next time they use you is like in the fifth inning when it's a 4 or 5 run game, is that hard to get used to, or is it you kind of have to think of that as a similar situation?
I mean, with the group of guys we have out there, I mean, really you can throw anybody into that, you know, the high leverage situation or the, you know, down four, up four situation. So it's just one of those things that it's whoever's available that day, you know, who's thrown recent days, who's fresh to give multiples, who's, you know, who's a one inning guy that day. It's just kind of just all, and also there's matchups. But yeah, we've got a lot of arms out there that can do just about everything. It's a 162 game season. You'd like to win all 162, but it's just not possible.
Can you try, though?
We could try.
Because that's what I want.
Yeah, I think that's what would make every Brewers fan happy. But, you know, in baseball, if you win 100 games, it's a good year. So it's, we're
do
just,
that, then. We'll yeah, settle
exactly,
on that.
Exactly.
Corbin Burns, appreciate it. Best of luck going forward.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So a different strategy from Corbin Burns.
Wait, Bart, did you say that you were a catcher in T-ball?
Oh.
Did I hear that?
Yeah. I'd say that and people think I was joking, but I was. A catcher in T-ball.
No, really?
Yeah. I played baseball in kindergarten, and I was, you know, where do they put the bad kid? Left field?
Or right field, usually.
There's video of me, like, my friend, parents, you know, you video the game. I'm, like, standing in left field as a five-year-old just scratching my butt. Like, I think I was looking into the parking lot. And then where I was in Fond du Lac, each coach could like keep five guys year to year. I was never one of the kids that were kept. And then by second grade, it was T-ball, and they had nowhere to put me. So they put me a catcher.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, catcher and T-ball, you don't do anything.
Right, because you don't have to catch a fish.
You literally just stand there. Nothing ever happens. There's not going to be a play at the plate with a bunch of second graders. So my dream was that one day somebody would, you know, if you hit right under the ball, you still hit the tee.
Yeah.
The ball pops up.
Right.
So my dream was I was always on my tippy toes. I was always alert that if the ball went up, I was going to dive and catch it.
Yes.
And that it towards the end of the season, one kid finally did that and the ball went up. And I froze.
your mind went, wait, and then it fell.
This is actually happening. This is my dream come true. That was my last year playing baseball.
That was it, huh?
Yeah, no, I was done at second grade.
No more of that.
Went soccer full time. But yeah, catcher and T-ball. I was the worst kid on the worst team.
Corbin seemed all right with that, though.
Yeah, no, Corbin's a great guy to talk to. Yeah. And Corbin's a guy that, you know, he's just trying to stay up at the big league level right now, and it didn't seem like he wants to, you know, he gives you the answer, and Keston Hira did this last week too. I'm just going to do what they tell me. Keston Hira, I'm going to play where they tell me. If they tell me to play in the minors, I'll go play there. If they tell me to play in the big leagues, I'll go play there. I think that from what I deducted out of that, Corbin would prefer to be a starter, or I think these guys would prefer to not, you know, go back and forth. I don't know if Woodruff would prefer that. He's settled in to being not just a starter, but he's our best starter.
Yeah. Yeah, he's become the ace.
Without question. Corbin Burns, we keep talking about how he's got the best potential and starter stuff. I would like to see him realize that one day. In the meantime, what you could get out of him is what he was last year. He was way better still in the relief role last year than he has been this year. Last year, he was like the right-handed Hader. I mean, nobody's as good as Hader. Hader's a two-time All-Star now and really a lights out guy, but Corbin could come in against righties and shut people down the way that Hader could against lefties. And so at least you could use him in the opposite situation. Corbin really hasn't gotten to that point yet. And then you wonder, is that the plan for him? Where do the Brewers want to use Corbin Burns? If Craig Counsell could get the performances out of these guys that he would expect, where would Corbin Burns be pitching? Because right now it looks like, and we talked about this a little yesterday, and we saw it again last night, it looks like Josh Hader is being removed from the closer role to try to go back into the role where he was last year, where you face the best hitters from the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that will be in the ninth, but sometimes it'll be in the eighth. Sometimes it'll be in the fifth.
Sure.
Whenever they need those three outs, that's when Josh Hader should be pitching, but they have not been able to do that this year because then there's nobody that can pitch after Hader. That's why you've seen a lot of two-inning performances, because they want to use Hader in the eighth, but then they're stuck with using him in the ninth. So they're trying to find who that ninth-inning guy can be. Albers got the save on Sunday. He came in a situation last night where you needed a go-to guy, and they went with Albers. Hader wasn't available. Jeffress had pitched 2 days straight. I thought they were going to go to Corbin Burnes maybe a little earlier last night. They end up going to him, and then you know he gets tagged with the loss. I think they're still trying to figure out, where can I use these guys the best? Freddy Peralta's been all over the map, too. He's coming in tight appearances for an inning and a half. He's coming in long relief appearances for four innings, and I don't know what it does for those guys. Corbin, I think, said all the right things there when I talked to him, but these guys don't have a defined role, and I don't know, as they try to figure this out, if that's going to hurt or help the performances, Kevin, that you see on the mound.
Yeah, it's got to be tough as a pitcher, because your ultimate goal, I think, unless for whatever reason you're groomed as a closer off the top, and not a lot of people are. Even the really good closers were not good closers before, right? They fell into the role eventually. But I think the idea for a pitcher is to develop two or three really good pitches, two or three pitches that hitters have trouble with. Because in my mind, if you have one really good out pitch, like just a blazing fastball, for example, then you're going to be good one time through the order. Those guys become closers a lot of times. That's why Aroldis Chapman is a closer, because that fastball is amazing, or it has been. If you can get two or three really good pitches, that allows you to face an order two or three times. You can get somebody out on a fastball once and a curveball once and a changeup once or something to that extent, right? And I think the Brewers have a ton of pitchers that fall into that category. Brandon Woodruff has found it. Corbin Burnes would like to find what Brandon Woodruff has found.
Yeah.
Junior Guerra would like to find what Brandon Woodruff has found. There's like six or seven guys that I think would want to be a starting pitcher, because that's their success. That means they've developed three good pitches, let's say. And the thing is, they have a lot of guys who have kind of gotten there but haven't quite. And Corbin's in that mix. The stuff tells you he'll be a starter eventually. He just hasn't made it to that point where he's getting outs with two or three pitches.
What's the dream with what they have? And now we're not talking trades. What's the ideal scenario for the Brewers at this point?
All right. I think they were trying to get there at the start of the year. I think they went real optimistic. They thought Woodruff steps it up, Peralta steps it up, Burnes steps it up. That's what that was their thought. And then you add those two to two established guys, Chacin and Chase, let's say, and there's your five. I don't think it's changed, to be honest. I think if Freddy Peralta could get to a place where he can complement that high fastball he throws, that rising fastball, and he gets a starting spot, and Burnes gets a starting spot, and it's Chacin back to good, you know, good performances, good health, and Woodruff, and then Peralta and Burnes and Chase. I think that's their dream. Like, you know, without making trades.
I don't know if they're going to put Burnes into the rotation again
right
this year. I think he might be locked in as a reliever. So if our dream is Hader is like the top three out guy, do we put Hader as... If Hader's that guy or the eighth inning guy, who's the setup guy to Hader, and then who's the closer?
Oh, okay. You're asking bullpen. I was firing rotation.
I'm asking all over the place.
Oh, okay.
Because I think, I'm glad you went starter, because you don't mention Hauser.
Right.
Hauser was so good for those 13-some games as mm-hmm. a reliever.
Yep.
Do you want it? Does he close? Does Burnes, do you try to work him as a closer? Does Albers close? Because we talked to Tim about this too. Yeah, Albers is probably your best guy performance-wise. I don't think when he comes on the mound, he scares anybody.
Right.
And he certainly doesn't give Brewers fans like a huge boost of confidence. Can Jeffress be the closer? Jeffress has that closer mentality,
mm-hmm.
but also if you look at his last six games, he's given up runs in four of them.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been flawless either. So I don't necessarily know where you go.
If you
I don't think Council knows, and that's why we're seeing, if you really look at the bullpen stuff, we're seeing some experimenting going on.
Right. He's trying. I think he asked himself sometime recently, if this bullpen were the 2018 bullpen, if I wanted to run this like the 2018 bullpen, how are the roles filling? The exact question you're asking. And I think, in my mind, just based on what I'm seeing right now, Jeffress would be my ninth inning guy. I honestly, it could be Albers in the old Jeffress role. It could be Burnes in the old Jeffress role. But here's the thing. The bullpen was so good because you had three lights out options at the end and really good guys in the middle. Woodruff last year, guys like him that played and pitched two or three innings when the starter would go three. That's where I see Burns. He's good enough to be a closer, but I think he's valuable enough that if Chase goes three or four, or if Council decides
when
to
Chase
yank
goes.
Goes three or four.
Yeah.
Or you know, when Council makes the decision to yank him after one time through the order, which he was doing last year, Burns is going to do what a guy like Woodruff was doing last year and throw those two or three innings in the middle. That's my thought on Burns and Peralta. That's what those two guys fit. Junior Guerra's in there somewhere, too. I don't know.
Yeah, Guerra, too. Don't forget Aaron Wilkerson's on this team.
Right.
Kevin Holden, he's in for Chuck today. You can ask us anything. Tweet us at 105.7FM. The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW. We'll do that in about 20 minutes or so. Do I understand this right? There's another Rogers LaFleur article that's been posted in the world.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I guess we can take a look at that coming up. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Hey, if we're excited to talk about it, you got to be excited to listen about it. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Kevin Holden, CBS 58, and WMLW News at 9.
Means Milwaukee.
Oh, I mean, let's not forget about it. Well, it's the, right, it's called the CBS 58 News at 9 on WMLW?
Yeah. Yeah. We try to get it down to the News at 9. That's kind of how, like, if you hear an anchor do it, that's how they try to abbreviate it, the News at 9, but it's the CBS 58 News at 9.
What's one other show that airs on WMLW?
The only other show, Big Bang Theory.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's literally 23 hours of Big Bang Theory.
weren't Brewer games shown on there like years ago?
Yeah, I was here for a couple years.
And that's kind of when it, that because it's only been around like 10 years, right?
Yeah, what they wanted to do, okay, you got time for real fast?
We got plenty of time. I mean,
so there was a year.
It's this or our Wimbledon betting preview.
There was a year when baseball's postseason was knocking a certain station's 9 o'clock newscast late every single night.
Ah.
Fox had baseball postseason, and this station that I'm referring to that has a 9 o'clock newscast every night.
Fox.
Yeah, Fox 6. was on late.
You just said Fox.
Yeah.
You're going to say Big Fox, but not Fox 6.
Fox 6 with people there that I know and like. So when that happened, our folks decided to try to take advantage of it by creating a newscast and putting it on WMLW. And it was supposed to be a one-month thing. And that was in, I want to say, 2008.
Oh.
And now it's an hour.
Well, when the Brewer games aired on there?
That was up until the 2011 season. That was the last year. So I was here for 2 years of that, Brewers games on WMLW. So it was kind of fun, you know, really, really wonky because your in-game was the same, Rock and BA. It was the same. The difference was this was still a lot of stations had gone to HD, but WMLW was still in standard definition. And so what we used to do when a game would air, it would start, and I would go to Twitter and see how much hate WMLW was getting.
This is the early days of Twitter.
Yeah, and it was, people were going nuts. In fact, it's still on there. You could research it, Brewers WMLW. And, someone said in Brewers baseball in beautiful 108p, because it's supposed to be 1080. That refers to the quality of the signal, the quality of the picture.
Yeah, that's funny. I get it.
That your local high school production department brings you Brewers baseball. And so the problem was, no matter what I did, I was part of that hatred, right? We could have had like a great postgame show, and they're like, who are these yahoos in standard definition giving me Brewers postgame? I don't want it.
Danny, on April 21st, 2010, thank goodness today's Brewers game is back on FS Wisconsin. WMLW needs to fire the entire crew that did yesterday's game. Rah.
We used to get all kinds of hate. And so here's the other thing, too. We were at the whims of the channel. This is what you don't have on FS Wisconsin, okay? Last night, the game was started at 6:10 and finished at like 9:40. And then they did what they always do, which is 30 minutes of postgame, let's say. Or you guys here, when you do your postgame show, most of the time it's as long as you want, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. You may do an hour. I don't know.
It's like an hour and a half.
It's heavy. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good, though. For us, we were at the whims of the channel. This used to happen all the time. We'd be at the whims of the channel. So
it's a fun game. Type Brewers WMLW in Twitter.
Boy, it's a level of hate, man. It's heavy. So what would happen with us was we were at the whims of getting back on schedule. So if there was a newscast, let's say at 9 o'clock, and the game ended at 8:50, we had only enough time for the post-game show that we could squeeze in. So there's a legendary 90-second post-game show that happened. They're like, we have 90 seconds. And I'm like, well, you're not coming to me with that. And they're like, stand by in 3, 2.
Oh, wow.
And Davey Nelson, RIP, was supposed to join us and had gone off to like chat for a second with someone and missed the entire postgame, the entire 90-second postgame show.
A whole minute and a half.
So a whole minute and a half was me and Mike McClendon with two mics. He had gotten his first big league win, the pride of Bishop Moore High School in Orlando. He'd gotten his first big league win. And they come to me and I just look at the screen like, folks, we don't have a lot of time, but here's a brief post-game show. This is Mike McClendon. Mike, that's a fun day, huh? Well, I got my first win, and I was like, okay, appreciate it, Mike. We got to go. And it's one of my favorite post-game shows, favorite anything TV-wise ever.
Igniter Kid, July 15th, 2011. Don't know what's worse, the way the Brewers have played to open the break or the fact that I have to watch this game on WMLW. Hashtag fail. Steve, October 9th, 2011, just lost the TBS HD signal. I can barely tell what's happening in standard definition. This looks like a WMLW game. Jeez.
there's some heavy, heavy stuff, man. So the first two or three innings of every game, rather than worry too much about the content of the post game, we'd kind of look at the hate tweets and we'd laugh at them.
I used to watch those games because I didn't have cable for a while, so I relied on the WMLW games and the Telemundo games.
Yeah.
And I would then turn the sound off and listen to Bob Uecker on the radio.
Yep.
That was like maybe 15, 20 games a year, and I cherished those because those were the only times I would get to watch games unless I was at a bar or something.
That's right. And we have a ton of people. I'm not lying about this. I have a lot of people who don't speak a lick of Spanish who will email me and say, please tell me you have this Sunday's game. And I'm like, why are you like our Spanish call? They're like, no, I don't have cable. I want to see a game, and I don't have cable. Your station is our only way to do that. So we have, my guess is our audience, if I had to guess, is 40% people who don't speak a lick of Spanish, but they don't have cable. Isn't that weird?
That's how I watched the Packers a few years ago.
Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
That was when your...
Four got yanked off DirecTV.
Yeah, so... All of a sudden, we went nuts with our coverage. We actually did some English in the pregame because we knew like 85 or 90% of our people there didn't speak any Spanish.
Yeah.
So I would just, you know, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden I'd go, hey, everyone watching us who speaks in English.
Oh, no, that was on Spectrum. That was the month I had Spectrum.
Yeah.
And then I had to go get an antenna, and then, yeah.
We had to speak English because people were watching us that would normally watch in English. Like, hey, thanks for watching, everyone. We're going to now go back to speaking this other language, but appreciate it, you guys. And so that was a crazy month. I got compared to a cross between A-Rod and Andre the Giant on Twitter during that game.
Jeez, you should stay off of there. Hey, this Packers story we'll get to just after 9 o'clock. There's another article about Rodgers and LaFleur. So we will talk to that. That'll be at 9 o'clock. Just a few more WMLW tweets.
Do it.
And these are from broadcasters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice to see the Brewers in HD. They are not when they're on WMLW. Can you believe that? Packers broadcaster Wayne Larrivee.
Larrivee's spreading the hate.
This is September 2011. Is all that WMLW has is the Big Bang Theory? They sure as hell don't have many sponsors for this Brewers game. Gene Miller throwing shade at you.
Gene Miller did that?
Gene!
I'm telling you, we loved it. It was probably 9 or 10 games a year, and we enjoyed it a ton. It really was fantastic, but it was... I mean, we got hatred for it. And then... Then Fox Sports Wisconsin got that alternate channel, so they picked up all 162 after that.
Yeah, that's right.
They're
not always going to be on Fox Sports Wisconsin forever.
Right. Well, at that time, there were rumors that they were going to get a full-time Spanish broadcast. that Fox Sports Wisconsin was going to pick up English and Spanish and do all 162 in both languages.
What happened to that?
I don't know. They bought the rights for it.
Well, was it Sinclair that bought all those networks?
Yeah.
The regional sports networks?
Makes me shudder.
So that could be, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like in the future. It could. I think that I've heard that some local channels want to be back in play.
Yeah, and they should be.
To air Brewers games. So
honestly,
that's all kind of up in the air, and we'll kind of follow that as it happens. 799-1250 to reach us. Number one on KJ's speed dial. What's up, buddy?
Aloha, Ledge. Aloha, Kevin.
Aloha, KJ.
What's happening? Hey, you know, I'm talking about last night's game. Obviously, there's no good loss, but I would rather see Miami kick the crap out of the Brewers 16-0 than to watch the Reds win a game in that fashion, especially with Yasiel Puig scoring the winning run. I just despise that guy. I don't like him at all.
I like Puig. Guy.
Huh?
I like Puig.
Yeah, good for you. I don't. He's a dirty player. He's up there with Machado for me.
What does he do that's dirty?
What did he do that was dirty? I don't know if you saw that play at second where he slid into Castanheira. You know, he was already across the bag.
Wasn't dirty.
Yeah, it was. To me,
no,
it was.
No, KJ.
He threw a forearm at his...
No, he
his
didn't.
Leg, tried to take him out. Yes, he did,
He Mark. Did not.
Yeah. And on top of that, just the way that they lost that game. You know, I'm not going to rip on the reigning MVP, but, I mean, he made two very bad decisions in that game in the 11th inning. One was to try and bunt your way on. You're leading the National League and Major League Baseball in home runs, and you're trying to bunt on in the 11th. Come on, man. And the other was the fielding throw from right field to Thames. And for counsel not to even mention Yelich's name in that whole conversation, I think was wrong. You know, that he threw a lollipop in there. There's no way Thames was going to get to that ball. And, you know, and you go back a couple of games earlier in the Brewers series against Seattle where he missed that ball in right field. That was an error in the corner. It's a tough play. I get it. But he's a gold glove right field performer, and I just don't understand how.
KJ, none of this matters. None of this matters because they're still in first place. They're still in first place. None of this matters. That's what I'm told.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you want to look at it that way. But, you know, you look at the end of the year, you're going to think about games like the game last night, and you're going to say, we squandered away a game that was winnable. And that definitely was a winnable game last night. And, you know, you could have put a two-game lead up on the Cubs going towards the All-Star break, and you didn't. You know, and sooner or later, the Cubs are going to start playing better baseball. They're playing horribly right now, too. So, I mean, you got to take advantage of every situation that you can. And you look at also Corbin Burns. He had Puig 0-2, and he throws the ball right down the middle. And luckily, Puig didn't hit that out, but he, you know, 0-2 pitch, you don't give him a pitch like that.
Right.
He did the same thing with Iglesias as well. You know, 0-2 pitch, and, you know, he squared it up and got on. So, it's just mental errors, you know, real routine plays. You know, you can't make those mistakes. And
yeah.
Think of yourself as a
– I got to cut you off.
A team that's going to go into the
playoffs. I got to cut you off. I got to cut you off.
That was that.
Okay.
KJ. Oh, you weren't lying. You cut him off?
Well, he's repeating himself. Here's a tweet. WMLW has the 1935 World Series on. It's a bit grainy, but I can think I can make out the Babe. Oh, hold on. That's actually the Brewers. Ted Perry, Fox 6, tweeted that in April of 2011.
Oh, Ted. I consider him a friend. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I like Ted.
Yeah. Is he still, speaking of catching hatred baseball related, does he still catch hate for the whole Cubs World Series thing? Did you hear about that?
From us, he did.
Yeah.
When Fox covered the Cubs like it was the Brewers.
Yeah. Because
they had the World Series on.
Uh-huh.
And they sent a bunch of guys down there.
Yeah, they weren't the only station considering that.
What? You? You can't.
I may have said something like that. What?
Kevin, I'm going to retweet this Ted tweet from
8 years You should. Ago. You totally should.
He's got no idea what's going
on.
Oh,
Teddy.
We have an idea what's going on for you this weekend. You can get over to Perkins. They did the Kids Eat Free last night, and you can do that again on Saturday. Kids Eat Free at Perkins after 4 o'clock, Tuesdays and Saturdays after 4. You get a meal. They'll get a meal for free. Take advantage of that this weekend. It's going to be a hot weekend. It's going to be a sticky weekend. It's sticky today. Get on out. Get in a nice, cool, comfortable restaurant with delicious food. They've got the breakfast that you can have at any time of the day. They've got your lunch options that you're familiar with. And the Shrimply the Best menu, 6 different items, whether it's the pasta primavera with shrimp, whether it's some of these other things, the scampi, any of these things, they've got a lot of good shrimp options. Shrimply the Best, check them out. That menu starts at just $7.99. So a good way to get out this weekend, eat and not break the bank to do so. That's at Perkins all over the greater Wisconsin, southeast Wisconsin area. Time to ask us anything. Your questions for us at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag AskCW for myself and Kevin Holden, WMLW's very own. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Do you have any questions?
You've been sending your questions in all morning for Chuck and Winkler, and now it's time for some answers.
Just answer the question, please.
This is Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Kevin Holden, CBS 58. WMLW being the sister station of sorts, right?
Yes.
Which has completely taken over our attention. We are now digging through old tweets when people used to complain about the Brewers games being on WMLW. Is it just me or does the Brewers game on WMLW look awful? September 1st, 2010. From Bill Michaels.
The Michaels.
10 to 2 here on The Fan. Time to ask us anything. You've been sending in your questions all day with the hashtag AskCW for myself and then Kevin Holden today. Evan Heffelfinger will be your host. Evan, take it away.
All right. This one is from Jason Netzsheim on Twitter. Is Chuck's hair really legit?
Yeah, I get a lot of questions about that. Like, you know, people will say, hey, like the show, man. Do you guys, like, get along, man? Or, you know, and so they want to know some of the behind-the-scenes stuff on
yeah,
the show.
Sure. And I want to know about you.
One I get a lot is if Chuck's hair is real.
Because it's a nice mane for, you know.
Does it not look real?
I would not have thought not real, you know what I mean? I think it's held up well. As someone who's, you know, I'm starting to, my hair's changed a lot in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I'm losing mine. Does it not look real to you, Evan?
I don't know. The picture that they tweeted with it, it looks, you know, a little sketch, but hey, it's Chuck. It's all that blue chew. It's keeping his hair fresh.
Yeah, blue chew helps the hair, I think, too. Actually, I don't know that. Don't take my word for that.
I hear you, player.
Oh, sure. I think that, I don't know. I don't see that. Hair looks real to me. In fact, it looks too real. I don't see how it looks fake. So, yeah, that's his real hair. I mean, I'm not going to, like, rub it or, you know, run my hands
through. Oh, he'd love that.
Anything, but yeah, it's real. I know we get that question a lot, but that is real. That is real hair player. Evan.
All right. This one is for both of you. It's from Mark. Hey guys, love the show. Can't wait to get on the boat this weekend. Will you guys be on the water at all this weekend?
As a matter of fact, I will not be.
Oh.
No, I hate the summer.
Really?
Oh, I hate it.
No.
Not good.
Why?
I get hot too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And I, like, go into a sweat.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, the air at my house was 72 I got it down to, because it's an older home, so it takes a while. I was still dying. I mean, just dying.
Yeah.
Yours went out.
Yeah, I'm at 83. We were at 83 overnight at the house. 83. It was 77 outside, 83 inside.
How do you do that?
Yeah, how is that even possible? We opened the windows, turned the AC off. We're like, well, you're not working. And then, yeah, it's been a mess, man. I'm like, you know, the old, like, pictures of the memes or whatever you want to call it of, like, a cat in front of the fan with everything spread. That was totally me last night.
No, I know. I know that people like summer. I know that, you know, because it's so short or it seems short that you have to soak in the sun and take advantage of every moment. But as I've said, if it could be 60 and cloudy all the time, I would be in heaven. I think that is perfect. So, that's not even like a preferred, that's like for my body. Because as soon as it hits 70, I'm done. I am toast.
Yep.
At 70 degrees. So, Mark, no, I will not be on the boat this weekend, but thank you for the kind words about the show.
Yeah.
How are we looking? This one is for Kevin from David Zabrowski. Hope you get back to 100% soon. Question is, how long before you're 100% again?
Well, and then for those who don't know, I have a ruptured Achilles tendon. I was playing softball or attempting to play softball, and maybe that's something I shouldn't do anymore. It's about 3 weeks. I've been in this boot. I've got this scooter here. You guys know I've crashed into like seven things this morning running around on this scooter. 3 more weeks, we'll get out of this boot. My guess is by the Packers' first preseason game, I'll probably walk in normally, and then physical therapy takes forever. I'll be in physical therapy till I'm 100, but, you know, as far as the like me looking like a cyborg, that probably ends the 1st of August, I guess.
Dude, you go like fast on that scooter.
In the newsroom last night, everybody cleared a path and started waving me like I was like they were waving a flag, like a checkered flag at a race.
Hey, I'll give you some inside info on the Brewers that people may not know with our behind-the-scenes access.
Yeah.
The Brewers parking lot is like right next to where they enter at Miller Park.
Right.
And the distance from where they enter to their locker room is probably 200-300 yards.
Yeah.
400 yards.
About right.
It's no more than 300 yards.
Right.
I have not seen a Brewer walk that distance in 2 years.
Since Jonathan Lucroy.
Everybody rides a scooter.
Yeah, because that's something Lucroy brought in.
Or a hoverboard thing.
A little Segway or whatever those are.
Segway. Nobody walks.
Nope.
Nobody walks from the parking lot. They all have a scooter.
Yep.
That they either put in their, they all have scooters.
I wanted crutches for this, but then I saw Quintez Cephas when he had his injury when he was still with the Badgers.
Yeah.
And he was in Miami at the Orange Bowl, and he was navigating the locker room in this exact knee scooter that I have. I'm like, I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. Crutches are
terrible.
2000 and late, bro.
Seriously, they're the WMLW.
Yeah. You got to go with scooters, Evan.
All right, this one's for both of you. It's from Mark. What is the best meal you guys can make from scratch?
From scratch. Without cooking directions.
From scratch? I cooked for my wife once. It was a tuna fish sandwich, and I had olives, and I made a smiley face on the sandwich and olives, green olives.
Did she like that?
She liked the humor in it, but that was the end of me cooking.
I mean, I can't make, like, bread, but I do make a Bart McMuffin, so I can cook the sausage or ham, I can cook the egg, I can warm up the muffin, but I can't cook. I can't cook. I am bad at cooking. I burn everything. The chicken's always dry. I used to cook more. We'd get Blue Apron, and I'd do the cooking, and I'd follow the spreadsheet and the directions, and it would still come out, like, bad. Because I cooked it, and then if my wife would do it, it was like a restaurant. She's a good cook. I got lucky there, and I don't want to take that for granted because she cooks all the time. So
yeah, I just never had a chance.
No, I suck. I'd say a Bart McMuffin.
Yeah.
Evan.
Well, good segue from your wife. It's a two-part question, two different people. This one from @RyanPep37. Hey guys, Bart, when is your firstborn supposed to be due? Congratulations. And then two tweets below from @VanBurf. Are we sure it's Bart's?
Oh, yeah, it's mine. It's due, like, in a month.
That doesn't answer the question.
I thought you did.
I answered both questions.
Are we sure it's yours?
I guess we'll find out in a month.
I guess so.
Yeah.
If it looks a little bit like Chuck, you might have to start asking.
Oh, don't even
questions.
Say it.
Oh, no.
Evan.
No.
Why don't you take the rest of the year off?
Twitter is about
it's
to
okay.
explode.
It's okay. This is my last day on the job anyway. It's
fine. Oh, well. Have a good life.
Going to AAF podcasting. It's going to make you some money.
I'm kind of a big deal.
No, now. Am I supposed to do a segment and take calls? And...
Nah.
All right, next.
All right, this one from at Danger McNasty. Are the 16 Cubs going to be the 85 Bears, as in a team that should have won multiple championships but won't?
I mean, I think you could ask a Chicago fan, and they feel like that.
Yeah.
I thought they'd rattle off two by 2020. So they still have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
If not three, I mean, they were building a really good team, and I don't know why they are not playing up to par. On paper, they're amazing.
Yes, and they have been. That's the thing, is that the 16 team looked like it was built to sustain that success, right? They didn't just buy that championship. They had young guys that came up through the system that they were paying less so that they'd have more money for free agents. They had all the stuff happening in the district down there with the new high-end restaurants and stuff, and it just hadn't worked out for them.
But it seems like Cubs fans are turning on even the guys that you wouldn't think they'd turn on.
The like Rizzos of the world?
Rizzo and Bryant.
Yeah.
Like, imagine us turning on Christian Yelich and turning on Mike Moustakas at this point. That's what they're doing down in Chicago. That's a very good comparison. And if they don't win one, that could be what ends up happening. You got one more?
Yeah, just a little quick one. Kevin, what's the best event you've ever covered?
Super Bowl 38. First Super Bowl that I covered. And it's just because it was the first Super Bowl, it was Patriots and Panthers in Houston. I was working in Houston, host city. I mean, it's just, you don't understand the 19 layers of covering a Super Bowl. It's not just the game. It's the parties and the other parties and then the other parties, you know?
Was that like, wasn't it like 3-0 at halftime in that game or something?
No, that was this past year.
Well, this one, yeah, this one sucks.
That one was known for Janet Jackson, which I saw from about a mile away inside the stadium. From where I looked, it looked like he scratched her on the shoulder and it kind of hurt her. And then my phone, you know, it was 2004, so my phone was... Did you see that? Kinda.
Your BlackBerry went off?
Yeah.
Oh, that was before that even.
Right.
That was a flip. That was like the WMLW of phones. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. Rodgers and LaFleur. More dissecting of that relationship next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.